Hi everyone! In this podcast, we discuss how to raise multi-language and multicultural kids. I hope everybody is having or has had a very nice summer. This summer felt like, for those living in Europe, earlier on the weather was really good, but then it got really cold. So for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I feel like all my colleagues who live across Europe in the UK or Germany or the Nordics, they all experienced basically the Swedish summer, which is a lot of rain, gray sky, and then sometimes 12 degrees weather. Summer is already over in Sweden. Today feels like the last day of summer. It's 25 degrees outside and it feels like everyone is outside of the city going to their summer house or taking their boat out and enjoying this day as the last summer. For our family, and we started off by going to a beach island called Gotland, and that was a really, really nice summer well spent for more than a week. And then my family went to the summer house for 3 weeks while I had to go back to work because I spent my annual leave in April as I sent my kids to Japanese school in Japan. And so I had to work most of the summer. So basically I was in the city working on my own. And then every weekend I went to the summer house, which is only an hour and a half or 2 hours away on the bus. So I was really like a consultant who never meets their family, just spends time with the family over the weekend. So 4 days in the city and 3 days, including the weekend, with the family. And then, of course, you start to notice the kids become a bit awkward around you. And the language degrades because at the summer house, it's basically my husband and the two kids, potentially his mom, and then also the kids' cousins. And so it's really spending every bit of moment in the Swedishness, including TV watching or reading books or any kind of activities. So basically for 3 weeks, I feel like there was a gap. And so I kind of felt like, am I a bad parent? So I went back to a couple of books and websites and podcasts on good parenting. We used to all read these kind of books when the kids were small, but now we never do. But it's good to get a list of what are good parenting tips. So I created a list what we're doing and what we are not doing, or myself personally not doing enough. Most of the guiding tips are around how to increase your interaction with the kids, because it is really true that the parents are really the sole kind of supporter of interaction with the kids at this age of 5 years old and 8 years old. And this really develops the kids and is kind of source of or opposite of neglect, which is very damaging for the kids. And so the things that we are doing, I feel, and everybody else probably, of course, starting with giving a lot of love. And then also acknowledging and praising positive actions. And that was interesting to be reminded that you shouldn't just always say, oh, you're so smart, but rather, oh, it's very good for you putting in this effort to do this or that. And so it's more action-based, not on the basis of what the kids already have. It's also very important to have the kids help with house chores. This obviously increases interaction with the parents. And then also talk about helping others or talking about helping the weak. My younger kid is a 5 year old and he's going to become the oldest one in the kindergarten. Most of the other kids are 1 or 2 or 3 years old. And so it's very important to teach them also how to interact with young kids, to always be there to help rather than looking up to older kids to play with them. And then obviously limit the screen time because it's literally the opposite of creating interaction. Then some of the aspects that were guided, which I feel I personally am not doing enough, is to talk about the future with the kids. This could be anything from, oh, what do you want to become when you become old, or whatever that's there. And then also similarly setting goals. This could be, you know, small, short goals up to medium to long goals, and setting new challenges, like what my husband is good at doing, signing up for local events like a marathon or running event for the kids, and then kind of encouraging them to, you know, train for longer distance, as kids are not very good at running longer distance. So these are things that are what I can do a little bit more, which I feel my husband is doing quite well. And then the last aspect is having quiet time. And this kind of feels like counterintuitive to the increasing of interaction, but quiet time can be done between the parents and the kid by reading books or playing board games. And quiet time sometimes feels like, oh, you need to leave the kid alone. And usually they end up watching something quietly or screen time. But then it's also something that we can do together as parents and then have a wind down moment, because especially for the younger kid, he needs like an hour of reflecting on his day, because now he recognizes a lot of things in his surrounding environment. And so he thinks about his friends and how the interaction has been during that day. And so you could support that moment of wind down. And that's another form of quiet interaction that parents can support. On the other hand, there's also the aspect of the language degradation that happened with my kids when I was away from them. And so I listened to some people talking about multi-language kids and their development. And it was interesting to hear from speech therapists how this profession views multi-language kids. And oftentimes, as our family also experienced, there's worries and actual delay in speaking when you have not just one language, but two or three languages. There's always dominance of one language or two languages over the entire set of languages. And then, of course, rusty languages. But it was interesting to note that all of these are completely okay, because what we're trying to create as multi-language kids' parents, it's to create the ease of going back and forth between different languages. It's not really trying to get to perfection. And it was rather discouraged to just think about perfection, but really use this language enhancement or the objective to enjoy the interaction. Because when you think about it, you as an individual are most comfortable in your own language. And in order to have the best interaction with your kids, I would rather obviously speak in Japanese rather than a third or fourth language that I don't feel comfortable in. And another thing that was interesting was we think about these things a lot, and we always think, what can we do to enhance the language? But it's really the interaction that you put in, and ultimately, how many hours are you spending with a kid talking in your own language? And there was an interesting question from the speech therapist to the person who was asking, what can we do? And that they're worried. And then the speech therapist simply asked, how many hours are you spending talking in your own language to the kid each day? Is it 1 hour or less than that? Or is it 2 to 3 hours? And when you think about it, after work, there's only so many hours with the kids that you have, and also the breakfast time. And so once I heard this, I thought it's very important to try to prolong and extend and deepen the conversations that you have just over breakfast or just as we're commuting back and forth of the kindergarten. And then just be very creative on how to expand that interaction, having in mind this language aspect. And so you should always find small opportunities to develop this and then not be rule-based. So I thought it's a very good reminder for people like ourselves and maybe yourself on how to be creative and how to think of the language development as trying to enjoy the interaction. And then, of course, sometimes think about how many hours are we spending together at the end of the day? What more can we do? And the last aspect that was interesting for me was to understand and kind of communicate this with the kid. Why are you trying to communicate and develop the kid's language in your own home language? And for me, it's really that my parents created an opportunity for me to be able to go back and forth of Japanese and English, or it ended up being English for us because we time in English speaking countries, to give and to get the opportunity to manage working in both countries or finding opportunities in both countries. And that's sort of, for me, what I want the kids to feel, that they feel comfortable in any of the languages that we have. It's three languages for us, but that they'll feel at home and confident. And that's our goal. And so it's good to communicate this and talk about it, because kids sometimes would tell you the only reason I'm speaking your language is to please you. And if they don't know why they're speaking or what we're trying to do, it doesn't work so well. So that was interesting to learn. So today I talked about how I felt the kids becoming awkward and language degrading from not spending the whole 3 weeks together. Of course, I spent the weekends together with them, but overall I felt like I was really, for the first time, stepping away from this parent role this summer. And so I kind of did a self-review of what good parenting is in terms of deepening interaction and also the language aspect. I hope this was useful, and I look forward to sharing some stories again. Thank you.